do that. Here we go now. 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 128-111 final here in Milwaukee, where the Bucks take down the Golden State Warriors tonight. A nice bounce back game after a frustrating loss in Houston over the weekend. You did split that road trip in Texas, beating the Mavs and losing to the Rockets. I think most Bucks fans assumed it would be a split, knowing you're going on the road, you're playing against Luka Doncic, who's been maybe the MVP. It's too early to discuss MVP, but Luka Doncic is certainly in the running for that award, the Michael Jordan Trophy this season, by the way. But you thought the chances were high it was going to be a split in Texas. You just thought the roles would be reversed. You would win Sunday night. It's going to be tough and potentially a loss on Friday night, but the opposite occurs. And as we've talked about quite a bit, this upcoming stretch and this current stretch, for that matter, that the Bucks find themselves in on the schedule, they don't have anything like this for the rest of the season. You've got tough pockets of games. You've got a couple of stretches where it's a couple, two, three games, but nothing like this. This is really a 10-game gauntlet. It started in Dallas with the Mavericks. Now, we didn't think it would be the case in Houston on Sunday night, but you lost that game. And as we touched on Bucks Talk on Sunday, certainly the emotion that the Rockets were playing with, playing for their head coach, Steven Silas, who earlier that morning learned he had lost his father, the late Paul Silas, that added to the team and added fuel to the fire in that Rockets team that you were facing. But tonight, the Golden State Warriors, we spent quite a bit of time talking about all the struggles that the Warriors have had on the road so far this season, but you keep thinking, all right, sooner or later, that is going to turn around and change. Steph Curry is capable of putting up big games. Klay Thompson, we've already seen a couple of those this season, is capable of doing it. You have the Milwaukee kids returning home, most notably Jordan Poole and Kevon Looney. We did get to see Patrick Baldwin Jr. in this game. But it's a Warriors team that's been playing very well defensively this season and still has the offensive firepower. They may not be the terrifying offense that the Golden State Warriors were in their heyday, but it's still a very good offense. So you knew this was going to be a challenge. And as we just got to, what you have directly in front of you against the second-best record in the West, the Memphis Grizzlies, Monday, 6 days from now, the best record in the West, the New Orleans Pelicans, both of those are road games. The Utah Jazz aren't going away anytime soon. You got them coming to Milwaukee on Saturday night. And then you head out east for three very big games against the other three teams occupying the top four spots in the Eastern Conference before you come back to the Midwest. You're in Cleveland, you're in Brooklyn, and you're in Boston on Christmas Day. So this is a really difficult stretch the Bucks find themselves in right now. You've started 2-1. The disappointment is you look at the schedule and you say, we really should be 3-0. I know you can make the case the Bucks should not have won that game on Friday night, but you won it. You got to take care of business against teams like the Houston Rockets when you're in a stretch like this where it just keeps getting more difficult. But a 2-1 start to this 10 games that we've really shined the light on now. And we'll see if the Bucks can't get to 6 or 7 wins in this 10-game stretch. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Whether you're listening in Milwaukee, we're on our flagship WTMJ, ESPN Milwaukee, or if you're listening in Madison as well on ESPN Madison, the number that you want to call to join us is 855-616-1620. We will preview that game against the Memphis Grizzlies momentarily. Also get to the highlights from tonight's victory. But when we return, we'll take a look at the turning point of this game. I know we made reference to a couple of sequences in this game, and specifically the third quarter. Third quarter was a turning point in a different sense, but turning point in terms of the outcome of this game. We will reveal that next on Bucks Talk. Tonight, 128-111 in front of another sellout crowd. Certainly a lot of Milwaukee connections in this one. Kevon Looney was out here right in front of us for about 40 minutes after the game, giving away his jersey, signing autographs with everybody that was left in the arena.
Patrick Baldwin Jr. had about 50 friends and family here. He got into the game in the fourth quarter and hit a couple of threes. And Jordan Poole had some friends and family in the area as well. As those are three Milwaukee natives returning home for the Warriors, but they return home in a loss as the Bucks win it tonight. 128-111, the final score. Now, this game started off pretty good for the Golden State Warriors. 7-0 run to open up the game. Klay Thompson hit a couple of those shots and started to wonder, all right, everything we had just said moments ago, it's still a Warriors team that's dangerous offensively. They've been in the top 10 defensively all season long, and they've actually been playing their best defense the last 2 weeks. Is this going to be one of those games that we look at and say, man, the Bucks really missed Drew Holiday in that game? But the Bucks responded nicely, made this a back-and-forth game really for most of the opening quarter after that 7-0 run. And that would bring us to our turning point in tonight's game.
The moment it all turned around, for better or worse, this is the turning point of the game.
So now we've got a technical going against Curry.
Well, that was a long time coming.
Oh, we just got a double T. This one's going on Kerr.
Yeah, so after that 7-0 run, mentioned the Bucks stormed back. They would take a 7-point lead. And then you get that technical foul. Steph Curry missed a shot, was barking all the way down the floor. Officials gave him a lot of leeway, and it wasn't until it continued after the play that Steph Curry was teed up. Moments later, head coach Steve Kerr was also teed up. They were two of four technical fouls called against the Warriors in this game. Two were on the Bucks. Six technical fouls total. 40 total fouls in this game, and 26 of those 40 came in the second half. But it was those two technical fouls in the final minute of the opening quarter that helped the Bucks push that lead up to double figures. With the technical foul free throws, Chris Middleton was also fouled on the play leading up to that. He would hit his free throws, and it went from the Warriors getting off to this fast start to the Bucks taking an 11-point lead into the second quarter. In that second quarter, they would continue to use their size to their advantage and build up a lead, stretching it as much as 24, but it all got started in the final minute of the first quarter with that double technical foul on Steph Curry and Steve Kerr. It is tonight's turning point of the game. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, whether you're listening in Milwaukee or Madison. And this is now three straight games that the Bucks have really held Steph Curry in check. 40 points that he scored against the Bucks in the last three games. And he's had to work for that production. Now, when you saw Drew Holiday was out for this game, I don't want to diminish what Drew Holiday brings to this team. But listening to Steve Kerr talk before this game about Andrew Wiggins, and that's a big loss for the Golden State Warriors. Listening to him talk about Andrew Wiggins, we had this conversation off the air prior to the game tipping off about, you know, Drew is a big absence for the Bucks. He is clearly their best perimeter defender. He is a viable offensive threat as well. And now that he's been back on the floor, he's been back into his groove offensively. But the absence of Andrew Wiggins is huge. It's a Warriors team that has no rim protection. If they're going to slow down Giannis, they're going to have to gang defend him. They're going to have to throw multiple bodies at him. You're going to have to stay in front of him and not so much challenge him at the rim, but just try to prevent him from getting to the rim. Whether that's Draymond Green, whether that's Kevon Looney playing physical with him, but another guy that would have taken some reps on Giannis was Andrew Wiggins. He's a guy that would have defended Giannis, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton. He is Mr. Versatility for the Golden State Warriors. Everything that Draymond Green did defensively for this Warriors team when they were really at their peak, when this was the team that was going to four straight finals, when this was the team playing the Cavs in four straight finals, and then starting to get to the end of the line of that run, but that series with the Toronto Raptors. The Warriors were the dominant team of the decade. We talk about their shooting and their offense and the Splash Brothers. They're a very good defensive team. And that's really what allowed them to do what they did, to go on that run of success. Their defense kept them in games. Their shooting is always going to bring them back, but their defense was elite. And it was Draymond Green that was really the focal point of that defense. In the last year and a half, things have started to flip where Draymond Green is still a valuable defender, but Andrew Wiggins has become their most valuable defender. Andrew Wiggins has become their Swiss Army knife guy that's doing everything and taking on multiple assignments. And not having him on the floor and not having the ability to flash him out there, to double team and be one of those bodies that flashes a late double. Think about all the times we saw that over the weekend in Dallas on Friday night and Houston on Sunday night. Saw none of it tonight against the Warriors. Now, part of that is it's kind of difficult to double team someone when they're in transition and when they're constantly on the fast break. But Andrew Wiggins is another guy who can help prevent that. The absence of Andrew Wiggins for the Warriors tonight, in my mind, was bigger, much bigger, than the absence of Drew Holiday against this Golden State Warriors team, even though it's a team that has Steph Curry, that has Klay Thompson, that has Jordan Poole, a lot of perimeter talent and a lot of shooting. Drew Holiday is clearly your best perimeter defender. Javon Carter did a more than capable job on Steph Curry. And Javon Carter, that's a role that Javon Carter is really good at. Steph Curry never stops moving. You heard Pat Connaughton talk with me and Dave after the game about what makes it so challenging to stay with Steph Curry, to defend him. He never stops moving. And that's how the Warriors, frankly, were able to get away with some of these offensive combinations they had on the floor. When you got guys like Kevon Looney and Draymond Green on the floor at the same time, those are two negative offensive players. You got the IQ and the passing ability of Draymond Green. Kevon Looney is going to crash the glass and does a very good job offensive rebounding. But they're not scoring threats. And you saw the Bucks do a really, really good job tonight of knowing the personnel, not closing out too hard, letting non-shooters get open looks, and daring them to take that shot. And it worked to their advantage. It allowed them to recover and stay home on guys like Klay Thompson, like Steph Curry, but also having Javon Carter, this may be one of the ideal roles. Not to say getting matched up on Steph Curry is ideal for anyone, but Javon Carter never stops moving. Javon Carter is that guy that's picking you up the length of the floor and really always in your back pocket. So to have Steph Curry constantly going off screens, never just standing in the corner, constantly moving, Javon Carter is the exact type of guy you want taking that matchup and constantly moving with him. Not that it wouldn't have helped to have Drew Holiday, but Javon Carter was a pretty nice substitution in Plan B tonight for that Bucks defense. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we return, we will get to the bench mob, the sub of the game. A couple of them to choose from tonight. We will reveal who had the biggest impact off the bench after this on Bucks Talk. 128-111, final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. The Bucks take down the Golden State Warriors and are now 20-7 on the season, a half game back of the Boston Celtics for the best record in basketball. Those Celtics are playing right now in Los Angeles against the Lakers. Boston, by the way, is looking to snap a two-game losing streak. It is about midway through the second quarter, and the Celtics are up 54-45. So if the Celtics lose, Bucks and Celtics will be tied atop the Eastern Conference and atop all of basketball for that matter. If the Celtics win it, Bucks are going to be a game back of the Celtics. But again, before you know it, it's going to be Christmas Day. And we are going to have that first matchup between the Bucks and the Celtics. There's really, you got to go back years to think about a matchup Bucks specific in the regular season that has been as anticipated as this. I mean, you go back to the year the Bucks played the Knicks on Christmas Day, just for the sole reason that that was their first time playing on Christmas Day in decades. When the Bucks played these Golden State Warriors in Milwaukee a couple of years ago on Christmas Day. Granted, it was only two games into the season, but you were looking forward to it because the Bucks, COVID year or not, were finally hosting a Christmas Day game. Last year, the Bucks and the Celtics played here in Milwaukee on Christmas Day, and that was the full celebratory, hey, we're hosting a game on Christmas Day here in Milwaukee, and we can have everybody come and enjoy it. Go back to Bud's first year here when the Bucks and the Raptors, which it's almost starting to feel like that all over again, but in the 2018-19 season, the Bucks and the Raptors were the two best teams in the Eastern Conference, and it wasn't even close. They played, their first matchup against each other was early in the season. I think it was their sixth or seventh game. Bucks won that game, but remember, Kawhi Leonard didn't play, Giannis didn't play. And I believe both teams were unbeaten going into that game. So there was a little bit of intrigue there, but then when he got to game day and saw, oh, no Kawhi Leonard, no Giannis, that took away from it a little bit. They would play a couple of times that season. One was in January that was a thriller. Another one in December that went down to the wire. But that was really a different Raptors team as well. It was a Raptors team that they had Kawhi Leonard, their one and only year with him. But it was a team that didn't really have the trust of NBA fans because you had seen the Raptors do what, frankly, we saw the Bucks do a couple of years ago for a couple of years in the playoffs, and that was just come up short. So you're always looking at the Raptors with a bit of skepticism before the finals that year, thinking, yeah, we'll see. I've seen how this has played out before. You got to go back farther beyond that. 2001, the Bucks and Sixers play, or the Bucks and Sixers matchups in the regular season, kind of the same story. Those two teams, clearly the best teams in their conference. But in this case, the Bucks and the Celtics are not only the two best teams in the Eastern Conference, they are the two best teams in basketball. We have seen enough. I know it's just a month and a half into the season. We have seen enough to know these are the two best teams. Now, in the 2018-19 season, the Bucks obviously won the conference in the regular season, finished two games in front of the Raptors. The Raptors finished seven games in front of the 76ers, who were third. So those two teams were 7 and 9 games in front of the rest of the conference. I don't know that it's going to be 7 and 9 games this year, separating 1 and 3 and 2 and 3, but I think it's going to be 4 or 5. Teams like the Sixers, they're going to play better in the second half. The Cavs probably aren't going to go away. Brooklyn Nets, what we've seen, I mentioned they've won 11 out of their last 14. That may be who the Brooklyn Nets actually are. They may not go away either. But barring an unforeseen move for any of those teams, for the Cavs, for the Nets, for the Sixers, they're not getting to the level of the Bucks or the Celtics, assuming those two teams can stay healthy. So we're going to see a bit of a gap between 2 and 3 in the Eastern Conference this year, but we are less than 2 weeks away from that 1 and 2 showdown, not only for supremacy in the East, but in all of basketball. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. I mentioned some big performances from that bench mob. We heard from one of them on the Bucks Radio Network after the game. Time to reveal tonight's sub of the game.
The bench mob was hungry, and someone ate. Who was it? Tonight's sub of the game is...
All right, it's good news, bad news. The bad news is it's kind of getting to be boring. The good news is this is like clockwork now. I believe this is the third straight game that we have said the sub of the game goes to Bobby Portis, who was terrific tonight. 11 of 15 from the floor, 25 points. Part of this was matchup-based, but a lot of it, too, was the way Bobby played and his productivity. He played more minutes tonight than Brooke Lopez, scored 25 points with 11 rebounds. Yet another double-double tonight for Bobby Portis. He and Giannis with the most double-doubles on the team and still third most in all of the NBA this season. Bobby Portis tonight's sub of the game.
Come on, man. Just another day in the NBA, man. Every day is a dogfight.
There you go, Bobby Portis. 25 and 11 tonight to lead the way for the Bucks. When we return, we will take a further look at what's coming up on this upcoming road trip for the Bucks. It's not the full road trip yet. You do return home on Saturday, but as we mentioned, Six of your next seven games will be played away from Fiserv Forum. We'll take a closer look at the upcoming schedule next on Bucks Talk. .128-111 final here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks take down Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors to move to 20-7 on the season. Let's head to the phone lines and kick things off in North Carolina. Check in with our buddy Justin in North Carolina. You're leading things off.
Hey, listen, man. This is a complete basketball win against a great opponent, I feel like. But one thing that I can't be remiss if I don't mention, Justin, like that referee, that one referee that called, what? How many technical fouls is the guy going to call tonight?
Yeah,
he had to be the all-star of the game, right? He wanted to take the stage. He wanted to show he was who he was. I'm really confident in this team, though. Like, really confident. And I think trading Grayson can be a mistake.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think tonight is, granted, it depends on the opponent. And look, I will die on the hill. That is, Grayson Allen looks much different in that series against the Celtics if Chris Middleton is on the floor. And I think tonight you saw, and this season for that matter, you've seen some of the things he's able to do. He's become much better at finishing around the rim and at getting into the paint. He did that tonight, and it looked great tonight against a team with no rim protection. But overall, his shooting ability, the spacing, I think he knows where to be defensive-wise, defense-wise. He's a capable defender. I mean, I've talked about it before. I am not opposed to someone like Jay Crowder joining the Bucks. The only place where I would push back is if it costs you Grayson Allen. Then I would continue to look elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree with you. And real quick, before we continue, hey, shout out to my guy Dick in Port Washington, though. That's my guy, man. That's my guy. So, we didn't have any Jordan Nwora sighting tonight, but that's okay, though, because Dick's going to call in and he's going to tell you how bad Jordan is. But Grayson, we cannot give away Grayson for nothing, and we can't hope and beg on the ACL of Joe Ingles, who hasn't played in what, almost a calendar year.
Yeah,
we gotta we really gotta focus on what we have and not worry about what we could have. Now I'm watching this Celtics game and these guys are dominating these Lakers like what we should have, but we gotta understand the Lakers played the best game they could have played against the Milwaukee Bucks, right?
Yeah.
So going forward, I feel like seven games, I'm not going to say it, but you can kind of read in between the lines, right, Justin?
Seven games
with this Milwaukee Bucks team. Do you see that's better than us right now?
Well, right now it's the Bucks and the Celtics. They are clearly the two best teams in basketball. They are the two teams that are on a level apart from every other team in the league. And
can I stop?
Yeah.
Can I stop you for 1 second? I know you, and I know where you're going, but that's the Bucks. Without Middleton, with Middleton and Inglis and everybody else that we have on this team, can you really think that that Celtics team is better than us, though, seven games?
I'll say this. Jason Tatum looks even better this year. And, you know, how a team responds the year after going on that deep run, it can oftentimes be telling, and we won't know how the Celtics respond. It's one thing to say they're blowing through the regular season, but how they respond in the playoffs. What did you learn from the previous season? A lot of it was Drew Holiday changing things for the Bucks. Bobby Portis brought some of that with him as well. But part of it was, you know, the Bucks learned a lot from their shortcomings the previous two postseasons. You had to really go through those failures to learn how to close out games. And I'm curious to see, P.J. Tucker brought some as well, but I'm curious to see what the Celtics look like having gone through that last year. And with Jason Tatum playing at the level he's at, I mean, you could talk me into them beating the Bucks, even if the Bucks are full strength. Those two teams, it's something would have to happen in terms of a big deal or an injury for those two teams, one of those two teams not to win the conference?
Last point I'm going to make to you, and I know that everyone's talking about we need Jay Crowder. He's the next P.J. Tucker. But I feel like we have our P.J. Tucker, and I feel like that's Bobby Portis. We don't need this pseudo-tough guy to come in that is P.J. Jay Crowder to take these flops, right? Because that's what he did in the entire finals, and it didn't work for him. We're good where we are. We don't need Jay Crowder. And I'm willing to bet my money where we have it right now and go forward that way, man. Justin, you do a phenomenal job. And, yeah, man, we're going to keep rolling with this train. And I'm going to call you Thursday night after we play Memphis, too, because I feel like, you know, what they call that guy, Ja Money, Ja Morant, whatever you want to call him, I feel like we have something to prove to him, too. This Bucks team gets up to play the guys that are in front of them. And I don't bet against them against anybody else on this earth, man. I feel like we got a great team, and these guys are going to get up to play against a better competition. So, hey, see you Thursday, Justin. Let's go ahead on and tame this Grizzly.
All right, we'll talk to you Thursday, Justin. And look, I'll say this. I've said for weeks now I would be opposed to moving on from Grayson Allen and to including him. You know, not just everybody brings up the Jay Crowder thing just because Jay Crowder is still looking for a new home. And when you do the math, it's really just Grayson Allen is the only contract on this team that you could make it work with. But I will say the Bucks could use another bigger wing. And look, I know we talk about Joe Ingles getting closer and closer to his return. It certainly seems like he's going to be back on the floor in time for that Christmas Day matchup with the Celtics. But they could use a bigger wing defender. I mean, look at some of the matchups that Jrue Holiday has had to take on in the last week. He's out there on Luka Doncic. And look, I get Luka is technically the point guard for the Mavericks. Luka Doncic is a forward. He had to take on LeBron James a couple of times. It wasn't just Wesley Matthews. That's really what the Bucks missed more than anything with P.J. Tucker gone, was it gave you another big guy that could defend wing players. And in the case of P.J., could defend really 1 through 5, depending on who the point guard was. But it also allowed you to play Giannis at the center because P.J. Tucker was taking on some of those other assignments. That's what the Bucks could really use, is a bigger wing defender. And, you know, maybe in a year, maybe 2 years, that's likely to be Marjon Beauchamp. But if we are being honest with ourselves, and based on the playing time we've seen as this season has unfolded, shouldn't be a surprise either, by the way. I know everybody points to, well, yeah, but Dante DiVincenzo was first off the bench. Dante DiVincenzo was not raw when he entered the NBA. Dante DiVincenzo just came off a national championship at Villanova, played for one of the coaches in Jay Wright that does the best job of getting you ready for the NBA, and he didn't spend just one season in college. Dante was more seasoned, and the Bucks also needed Dante DiVincenzo to step into that playing time. They don't need Marjon Beauchamp to step into playing time on the wing right now. Eventually, that is going to be Marjon Beauchamp that we're describing in that bigger wing, but eventually is not right now. And that is the one thing the Bucks are currently missing. 855-616-1620. Let's head to Shorewood and talk with Mike. You're up next.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Great performance from the Bucks tonight. Against a measuring stick against this Golden State team. Really locked down on Curry and Thompson there. And even Poole, walking guy, really got after them tonight. And one thing I hate is when the refs try to beat the show. All the techs and fouls, I hate when they bog the game down. The fans want to see the athletes perform out there. And I just hate when they do that in sports, when they want to think they're the show. They want to get involved like that. Let these guys play. But in terms of the way the game was called, that obviously favors the Bucks because the Warriors really like to get up and down. That's the tempo of place they like to play at. And if you get into a rock down fight like that, like they did tonight with the refs calling like they were, obviously, the Warriors are not going to beat the Bucks at that style of play. Obviously, not having Wiggins is a big factor to them, but I think the Bucks really love this matchup. I thought this should have been the finals last year, as you mentioned earlier with Middleton. I just think they. This Bucks team really gives the Warriors a big problem because of the size, their switching ability, and their defense, and the way Boston plays. I think they play right into the Warriors' hands, as you saw Saturday night. even without Wiggins, they really just they really pummeled the Celtics. So Golden State seems to really be in their heads as of tonight. They lost they got hammered last night too by the Clippers. So the Celtics really reeling, which is great, benefits the Bucks right now. They're only like a half game. As great as the Celtics have been, the best team in the league, Bucks really are right there. They can overtake them for the best record in the league, and I think the Bucks want that home court, which is going to be huge there for them down the stretch. But overall, big time performance, and I can't wait for Thursday because that's the finals I had in matchup this year. I had the Grizzlies and Bucks this year, and I'm going to stick to that. Final thoughts, though. What do you make of this Golden State team? I know everybody's going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, they're the defending champs, but I can't remember a defending champ being this awful on the road. I know they're great at home, but you're not going to be this awful on the road. I just don't think they're as good as last year, losing some of their key guys there off their bench, some of their young guys like Wiseman not developing like they are. They're still talented. Curry's still playing at MVP level, but Thompson I don't think is the same player. Obviously, Draymond Green. What do you make of them? A lot of the experts are still going to pick them to come out of the West, but I don't see it. I just don't think they're good enough as last year, and I just think they're too flawed, and I really don't see them getting to the final because I do the Bucks, barring a major injury, are coming out of the East. And I think Memphis, to me, is the most talented, but I'm really intrigued by New Orleans. And if Zion's healthy, they're as good as anybody in the West. What are your thoughts on the West, which is wide open? Now, I'll take your thoughts. Great win tonight. Can't wait for Thursday.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. And, look, I know it's a cop-out. Let's just start with the East and then ask about the West. I know it's a cop-out, but barring an injury, knock on wood, for either of those two teams, and barring a move that right now I don't see what it would be, but barring a move to give some more stability to the 76ers, even then it seems like it's a roster that doesn't totally fit. With Brooklyn, stability is the big thing as well, but defense more than that. They need some size. With the Cavs, they need a three. They need somebody to play on the perimeter next to Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. I don't know who those players are. I don't know that they're out there. Those are going to be good teams. They're going to be tough outs in the playoffs. But right now, they're not close to the Bucks or the Celtics. So barring any of that changing and barring an injury that we hope doesn't happen to either team, it's going to be either the Bucks or the Celtics that are coming out of the East. That is the easy pick. The West right now is take the field. I cannot wrap my head around why this Warriors team is so bad on the road. We talked about it, Dave and I, a little bit on the air on the game broadcast, but it is just startling. They're now 2-12 on the road. Their defense is in the bottom five in road games. And it's not like you have half the rosters and playing on the road. It's the same team. They're really bad defensively, and they're bad overall on the road. And I can't figure it out how a team, not only the reigning NBA champions, a team with Steph Curry, is this bad away from home. But to me, it really is the field. I was not a firm believer. I didn't think they were going to be bad, but I thought the Memphis Grizzlies were going to suffer a little bit of a setback coming into the season. That has clearly not been the case. You weren't really sure what to make of the Pelicans. It's a great story last year. I'm not going to say it was a cute story, but they were a great story last year. But oftentimes, you can see the timeline gets sped up, and it accelerates 1 year too fast. Usually what happens the following year is you regress, and it's not until 2 years later that you get back to continuing to make that climb. And I thought maybe the Pelicans would be there. I still believe in the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker has played like an MVP so far this season. DeAndre Ayton has started to get closer to the guy he was during the playoffs and during that regular season 2 years ago. And I don't think you can sleep on the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic has been incredible statistically once again, and they're starting to get healthy. So there's a lot of really good teams in the West, but there just doesn't seem to be that really, really good or elite team like we have two in the Eastern Conference. If I had to choose one right now to come out of the West, and oh, by the way, depends on how you feel about the Clippers. They just beat the Celtics, and you can point to, well, they're playing the long game here, and they're just making sure Kawhi and Paul George are healthy for the postseason. Maybe so. They got a lot of, we talked about what the Bucks need. Clippers have a lot of that. Big wing defenders Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Marcus Morris, Norm Powell, Robert Covington. Ivica Zubac has been really good so far this season. So maybe you believe in that team. There's a lot of options there, and there's not one that's head and shoulders above the rest. Right now, if I had to pick one team to come out of the Western Conference, I think I would probably say the Phoenix Suns are best positioned to do so. But we're talking about four or five teams that you're saying, well, it could be this team or this team. In the East, again, yeah, maybe the 76ers are going to make things tough, and I think Philly is really the only team you would point to just because James Harden and Joel Embiid. And I know in Brooklyn you can say, yeah, but Kevin Durant is scoring 30 points a game, and he's playing like an MVP, and there's Kyrie Irving. I'll believe it when I see it consistently with Kyrie Irving, but those other two guys in Philly are really what gives you pause. Other than that, it's the Bucks or the Celtics. The West is wide open. The East is really two teams that we're looking at with maybe two or three trying to convince themselves they've got a chance. We'll wrap up the show after this. Bucks take down the Golden State Warriors tonight, 128-111. They're 20-7 on the season. We'll check out the score in Los Angeles and get a better feel for whether or not the Bucks and Celtics will be tied when you wake up tomorrow morning. And set our sights on Thursday night as the Bucks head to Memphis to take on Ja Morant, the Grizzlies, and former Bucks assistant Taylor Jenkins. We'll wrap up the show next. It's Bucks Talk. Bucks take down the Warriors tonight inside of Fiserv Forum, 128-117. Mentioned there's two other games ongoing right now. A couple of minutes left in Utah. The Jazz are blowing out the Pelicans, 116-90. Bucks will host the Jazz on Saturday night and then go to New Orleans to take on those Pelicans on Monday. Before that, though, it's the Memphis Grizzlies on Thursday. And at halftime, the Celtics are up 15 on the Lakers, 65-50. Talked a little bit about, and I think Justin brought it up too when he called in, the calls that we saw in this game. Now, I do think it was pretty even in terms of the technicals that were called, the overall fouls. It was called the same way on both sides. There's just a lot of it. We were trying to do a count here on when we broke from halftime and when the third quarter ended, and I believe we were over 40 minutes it took to play the third quarter. All told, the second half took over an hour and 20 minutes. It's usually around an hour that you take with a 15-minute halftime. So that was a long second half, and specifically third quarter that we had. But again, it wasn't as if the calls were overwhelmingly in favor of the Bucks. They certainly weren't overwhelmingly in favor of the Warriors. It just hit a snail's pace in the third quarter. We will officially wrap up the show and preview what's next for the Bucks. The Memphis Grizzlies on Thursday. Put the finishing touches on the show after this. 17-point home win tonight for the Bucks. 128-111. They take down the Golden State Warriors tonight. Up next, the Memphis Grizzlies Thursday night on the road. One of those six road games the Bucks will play in their next seven games. It's Memphis on Thursday, 7 o'clock tip. 6:30 is when our coverage starts on these airwaves. Grizzlies, by the way, don't play again until that game, so they will be well rested for that matchup. My thanks to everybody for tuning in and interacting with us on the show tonight. My thanks to Tommy Wirtz, Chris Larson, and Colin Russo for producing the show as well. We will talk to you again Thursday night with more Bucks Talk on these airwaves.